So if you brought a Bible, turn to the book of Ruth. In the Old Testament, it'll be around page 300 to 350 in your Bible. We've been studying the book of Ruth and preaching from it from the last couple of weeks, three to be exact. And Ruth is the story of someone who needs a redeemer. It's a story of someone who is in poverty, someone who is in problems, and someone who needs someone to take care of that problem. In the characters in here, Boaz, who is the Redeemer here, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see that and expound that as we go. And for those of you who haven't been listening in or haven't been here, Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi was from Jerusalem, and she went to the land of Moab, a pagan land. Out of God's will, she shouldn't have gone with her husband, and they went down there, and the Moabites and the Jews hated one another, and they were in a strange land because a short famine had come. And in that, we teach you quickly, just because a hard time comes, don't run. Sometimes stick it out, and the black clouds have waves of passing. Storms have waves of going over. Sometimes God will send a storm into your life just to see how strong you are and how sincere you are about what you had promised him you would do. Always remember, even an egg of a chicken is tested. Everything is tested before it can enjoy the results of God. A chicken is born, and it's one more proof that evolution is a lie. A chicken, a baby chick, has a little bitty spear on the top of his beak, a little bitty point. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. And when he's in the egg and getting ready to come out, that develops. And that is used to crack the egg to get out. And then it goes away. That's the only thing it's used for, is to get him out of the egg. But it's a test of God that if that little chicken can't work his way out of there, he didn't want out there bad enough. And he'll lose his life. And God has put these tests in nature for everybody. Don't think if he tests an egg that he's not going to test you. And so he did with Ruth. And Ruth ended up being the daughter-in-law of Naomi, got married down in Moab. He married one of her sons, married a pagan. And now they have found out they need to return to Jerusalem. And in chapter 3 is where we will start. Need to return to Jerusalem and start over. And when they came back, the Bible says that Naomi was old looking. She was only there 10 years, but her own people didn't even recognize her when she came back. She looked so old, and she had been through so much. The sad part is she didn't have to go through that. All she had to do was to stay at Bethlehem. Strangely enough, she was looking for bread and came back to the area of Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. That's where the bread of heaven came to be born, was it not, in Bethlehem. And she just didn't wait on the Lord. But other than that, she came back, and Ruth, her new daughter-in-law, her son had died, both had. Ruth came back with her and chose to leave the pagans, chose to leave the idol worshipers, and came back and made herself available and accepted the God of Israel and said, "Where you go, I will go." As I told you, a lot of preachers will use that in a wedding ceremony. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die, and all of that. But now they're back. And Ruth has gone gleaning. Gleaning, of course, means working in the fields after those who are harvesting the barley and the wheat. And she gets to go by and pick up the extras, the leftovers. And Boaz comes, and Boaz is the owner of the property. And as we said, the Bible says she happened to be on his property. That was not a happen. That was a direct leading of God. He still does that today, and even the little things. Bob was mentioning the $20 bill that was found over here, and they said put it back in the collection plate. That'll be all right. And I said, that's wonderful that somebody would do that. But I was talking to someone. I held a funeral Friday, and a lady there came up, and we spoke, and She said, "Well, yeah, our church up here, we're growing." I said, "Wonderful." Had 800 people and up near Shallotte. And she said, "We went down when they had the hurricanes. Let me tell you a story." I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, we went down to help. We had got a call from a pastor there. Wanted to know if we could help that a family of his, the roof had been torn off their house. The shingles were gone, and he just wondered if we could help with that and put them a roof on." And we said, "Well, certainly we can." And so we loaded up a truck and got everybody together and went down there. And we had directions as best as you could have, and I'm sure you've seen the television pictures. You can't find your way around with directions down there because streets are gone. I mean, you know, just there you are. So they went to the area where they'd been told to go, and got up on the roof and started working and putting the nails and the shingles together and getting everything. And they heard a noise on the inside and said an elderly man and woman came out in the yard and asked them, said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we're putting a roof on your house where you can live here." And said both of them started to cry. And he said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, we were in the back room, and at our age, we can't start over down here by ourselves, and we knew that. And we had just got through discussing that we were going to take our own lives today, and we heard you out here." And so they put the roof on and saved two lives. And after it was on, they found out they were at the wrong house. They thought. Isn't that something? And so here comes Naomi back to her country, not knowing what to do. And Ruth says, "Well, I'm healthy. I'll get out in the fields and glean." And came back and told Naomi where she was gleaning and what was going on. And Naomi said, "Well, wait a minute. That man is a kinsman redeemer. He's kin to us." "Boaz?" "Yeah, he's kin to us." Said, "Now this is your chance, honey. I don't care what he looks like. I ain't seen him in a long time. But latch on to him, because he has the legal right to buy my property back that we had to mortgage when we went to Moab, because they have to sell it back to us if our Redeemer buys it. Can't keep it. And he has a right to marry you. You'll be set for life. And things are looking good." So Boaz, we went through the story, kind of liked Ruth when he saw her. Evidently, she was a healthy young lady. She could work all day. And she was nice looking, because he told the people in the field, the workmen he had, he said, "Let me have a little conference over here, gentlemen. The new honey is mine." Because they had a habit of new girls coming to work, gleaning in the field. This wasn't the height of society anyway. And they had a habit of hitting on them, and a lot of abuse going on sexually and stuff like that. But Boaz said, "Not this one." He said, "I got my eye on her." So they began, as you can read between the lines here, of Boaz leaving, telling his men to leave extra food for her, and invited her over to eat with the men, and that wasn't done in that day. I don't know who changed that. And they didn't have the men and women eating together, and they didn't have the women eating the cool water brought for the workmen. They just had to do the best they could. And Boaz changed all that for Ruth. You can read the Bible and tell he's beginning to like her. And it doesn't say what happened. This goes over a period of several weeks that she's gleaning in his fields, and all this is going on. And evidently, they have shown great love for one another. Nothing bad going on. We can read that, as we can point out in a minute or two over here. She was a virtuous woman. He was a godly man. And they just had an eye for one another. As you know, maybe some of you have fell in love just as soon as you saw your wife or husband. That happens. You see people and just instantly you know that's the one you should be with. So maybe that has happened to you, that But here they are now getting ready to close the deal. Naomi is streetwise. She knows what's happening. And Ruth has come home, and she's come home with a load of grain and presented it to her mother. It says in chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? What that means is you're poverty-stricken, broke, hadn't got a job. The only thing you can do is glean in a field, and honey, you better get married. That's the Greenway translation. Okay. Naomi knew. You have no future following these people baling hay. You need to find yourself a husband. I'm from here, and we'll find one. By the way, isn't Boaz, didn't I tell you he was our kinsman redeemer? And Ruth said, well, yeah. She said, well, go after him. Just stick with him. And let me tell you how to do this. Naomi had been around. He said, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. The flat threshing floor was a platform. It may be outside, just covered with something like this, and maybe on the side of a hill. And what they did, they put the sheaves for the day there, and then they'd beat them on the floor. And you've seen this in biblical movies and TV. And the chaff would go up, the wind would blow it away, and just the good part was left. Well, when the good part piled up, you just didn't leave it there. Because come back in the morning, it'd be gone. Somebody'd get it. Somebody had to stay with it. Naomi knew all this, you see. Ruth didn't. She's from Moab. She don't know how to do this. And so she said, look, he'll winter with barley tonight at the threshing floor. Said, I know where he'll be. This is what you want to do. You want to wash yourself. I mean, she came from the fields, and she was dirty and sweating and nasty and didn't have any clothes. And Naomi said, no, honey, just get all cleaned up before you go over there. And remember always, and I have fun with the people, but never with the person it represents, Boaz is a type of Christ, and if you're going to approach him, you do it on a clean basis. You repent and go to him. Bible says to repent of your filthiness, and then you approach him. So Naomi says, you go wash yourself and anoint thyself, a little oil. That's anointing oil, smell good, frankincense, myrrh, all that stuff they put on. Put thy raiment upon me, dress up best you can. Didn't have any gowns to wear, didn't have any formalness to wear, but put some clean clothes on. And get down to the floor. Get down there where he is. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have finished eating and drinking. Don't be running in there, showing out. Don't make a scene of yourself. Let him have his evening meal. Let him get full, all laid back and happy. And he'll be drinking a little wine. He won't be drunk, but he'll be all right. He'll be comfortable and he'll be at ease. That's when you approach him. That's when you do that. And there's times when you approach people and times when you don't. I'll have people who'll come up when I do motivational speaking, same as this. And I used to sell fire alarms. Now I am one. And we would do things. People come up afterwards and they'd ask me a question or give me some instructions. I never even heard it. You wound up. I won't be wound down by the hour, hour and a half if I leave here. And so don't run up and ask me a question or give me any instructions that, when I get through here. That's Ann and Brenda will take care of that. See, because I'm liable to tell you anything and then I'll change it next week. Because I'll remember what I told you. So don't do that. And if there is somebody you want to take advantage of, however, do that. Catch them on the high and they'll answer. They'll greet anything. Just thought I'd help you. See, wash thyself, therefore, anoint yourself, put on some perfume, put raiment upon you, get all dressed up. And pertaining to salvation, what Naomi, she is giving the instructions with how to get saved here. Wash yourself, repent of your filthy ways. Anoint theirself, put on the smell of somebody cleansed and clean. Get thee down to the floor. Put on the garments. Put on the garments of salvation. In fact, Tommy and Connie Wood will be listening to this. They'll come back in October. Then Mexico, of course, working on the radio station down there to get it built. And she called the other day. She said, I've got some questions on a test I have tonight, and I just wanted to run over them with you. And she did. And she said, what is this garments of salvation? I don't understand that. I thought I'd get some help. I said, well, the garments of salvation are the works of the righteous. They're what you're doing right now. They're you helping build a radio station for people you don't know. You don't own the radio station. They can't possibly help you in any way. It's costing you time, effort, and money because you love the Lord Jesus and you want to get the gospel out in Mexico. You don't even speak the language. And those are works of righteousness. Honey, you putting on garments of righteousness right now. That's what we do when you put money in the briefcase, regardless of how much or how little. You're helping the work of the Lord go forth. That's why we say, let's get some property somewhere so we can keep it going forth. We've already made sure property don't come to me. You ain't buying me nothing. It doesn't come to Ann. Have nothing to do with it. In fact, I told H. Lee, I don't know why I should promote it unless I get an acre or two, something. He knew better. I got everything I need. Everything I need, the Lord provides, just like he does here. And he said, look, if you will come to me on my terms, I will be your kinsman redeemer. I will redeem you. This is what happens here. She says, look, it shall be when he lieth down, when he gets ready to go to bed, thou shalt mark the place where he'll lie. And thou shalt go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he'll tell you what to do. Now, there's nothing suggestive about this. What happened was, he's got to stay with the shucked corn, as we would say, as somebody's going to steal it. So he'll go down to the end of the pile, and he'll lay down on that stuff, put some down, lie down on it, and he'll go to sleep for the night. And he is protecting what's his. Now, she is to go down when she finds out where he's going to be, keep an eye where he's going to be because it's going to be dark later. They didn't have street lights and all like we do. And Ruth said, hey, sounds like a plan. I'll do this. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law told her to. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, I told you he was happy, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. He's getting him a little cubby hole there to sleep. She came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Now what this was doing was, when she did that in that economy, in that culture, and she didn't know, she was a Moabite. She had to find out what the legal Jews did from Naomi, because Naomi was from there. And Naomi had already told her what this meant. What this meant was, it was an act of submission. And telling Boaz just by that act that I am submitting myself to you and committing myself to you. I'm uncovering your feet, and she would lay down and cover his feet. You see, feet, if you remember when they tore down the Saddam Hussein things, all those people jumped on those statues and stuff with their feet. It wasn't a matter of beating them up with sticks and breaking them. It was a matter they jumped on with their feet. Because over there, that's the worst thing you can do to somebody is put your foot on them. In fact, the Old Testament, if you read, when one general had conquered another, the defeated general would come and lie prostrate on the ground, and the victorious general would put his foot on the neck of the general. Because that was total humiliation. That was total submission to his rule. And this is what she is doing here. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was startled. I mean, he felt something on his feet and woke up and said, whoa, what's going on? Probably thought somebody was there to rob him. And turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt, the long thing they wear, over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now you have to know what that means in that time. This was a proposal of marriage. Ruth was telling him, you are my kinsman. You have the legal right to redeem me. You have the right to buy back the property that Naomi has lost. She's my mother-in-law. You have the right to claim and get her out of debt, and you'll care for her. And you own the property, but comes with that property, me. And my husband's dead. And the law says if you redeem us, then you are to marry me to raise up children so that name of that family won't be stricken from history. So she's taking a big chance here because he said, "Say, look, I think you're cute and all, but I ain't going for this." I mean, she could have faced total rejection. And I'm sorry, Ruth, you got the wrong message. I mean, we've been kind of looking at each other and had dinner there on the grounds and friendly, but no, I'm not ready for this. I'm old enough to be your daddy. So, well, how do you know how old she was? Because in a minute he's going to call her my daughter. And she could, it was a terrible chance for her to take because this was going to be one more humiliation other than coming from the land of Moab, not having a husband, not having a job, and following around the clodhoppers to pick up the leftovers. I mean, things were bad enough now, and she could have been just wiped out here. But she took a chance because she felt that this was the leading of the Lord, as did Naomi. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." And that's where one of those deep breaths that go, whew, came from. She knew then he had accepted her. He wanted to marry her. He was going to redeem her. And Naomi was right. And now she was going to be okay. Poverty would be over. She'd be taken care of the rest of her life. He owned the fields. He was a wealthy man. He was a well thought of man. As we said the other day, and did you hear little Bradley the other Sunday when I said, "Jackpot"? Little Bradley said, "Jackpot." And she knew she had it made. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." This is how we know he's about twice her age, or at least 10, 15 years older. Because he said, you could have had one of these young, strong men. You've been following behind out there. You've seen them working hard all day, and you know which one's got sense and which ones don't, and which ones are nice looking and which ones aren't, and sure, there'd be one to your fancy out there. And I'm getting on to be an old man, and a beautiful young lady like you, I really didn't think. I knew we'd been kind of flirting with each other, but I really didn't have much hope that you would choose me. But God bless you, he said. He's pronounced a blessing on her for choosing him. And then he makes her a promise. "And now, my daughter, fear not. I'll do to thee all that you require. For all the city of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman." And isn't it strange that when we need a redeemer and we're lost and undone and we're in spiritual poverty, that the Lord Jesus says, "Fear not. I can undo all that. I can pay for all of that. I've taken care of all of that." And we have people we try to talk to about the Lord Jesus. Some of you do, as I do. And we find out that they'll say, "Well, I'm on up in age, preacher, and I've sinned so much, and they've been so grievous, I wouldn't even want to talk to you about them. But I've just gone too far. Nobody's going to forgive me for what I've done." And the kinsman redeemer said, "I will." Your kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, said, "I will." And as we told you, and those who are just listening by radio or here, weren't here, know that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. You see, this was the necessity of Jesus coming to earth. God had to manifest himself in the flesh, as Scripture says. He had to make himself a man because he had to have some blood to be kin to us. God is spirit. And yet, if you look in Acts 20:28, when you get home, it's a verse to preachers for us to look after the sheep that have been given and put under us and to take care of them. Because it says they were bought, the church of God bought with his blood. And I used to read that as you do scripture, and sometimes you read it and it doesn't make sense to you. You don't get anything out of it. And then you read it again later and it does. And one day I sat on that verse and said, wait a minute. Where did God get any blood? God's spirit. Spirits don't have blood. But ours purchased with the blood of God. Well, the blood of God was the blood that flowed through Emmanuel's veins. The old church, the hymn of the church. Dr. Seitler used to love it. He'd go around humming it all the time and couldn't sing much, but it sounded good to me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And this Boaz has said, don't worry about what's the past. Fear not. Don't worry about any of it. I'll take care of it all. And now it's true that I am thy near kinsman. And here came the bad news. Ruth has just heard the happiest news she's heard possibly in her lifetime. Poverty-stricken. Strange country, didn't know the customs, had no job. Her and her mother getting by the best they can on her gleaning in the fields. And now the man who owned the fields, the rich man, has fallen in love with her and has agreed to marry her. And that's the happiest news she's had in years. And as happened sometime in life, now the rest of the story. How be it, Boaz says, there's a kinsman nearer than I. There's somebody else who has the right to you. And he has first refusal on the property and on Naomi and on you. Tarry this night, he said, wait. And it shall be in the morning that if he'll perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, very well. Let him do the kinsman's part. But if he'll not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I'll do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, he swears, lie down until the morning. Isn't that the hardest part of faith? God said, never fear, I'll take care of everything. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And sometimes as Christians we look around and say, Lord, if it wasn't blasphemy, I'd have to accuse you of not doing a very good job. Where are you? Life has gotten mighty hard. Things are happening in my life I wouldn't wish on any other person. And I'm your child. I'm in your family. Why don't you do something? And he said, just wait till the morning. Just hang on. Just wait. I know everything about everybody. I know the present. I know the past. I know the future. You hang on. Things look dark to you, but it's always darkest before the morning, is it not? And you hang on and stick with him. And I don't care what your present day problem is, he'll solve it. If you're faithful, remember the chicken. Remember the egg. It may be a test from God. And she lay at his feet until morning. And she rose up before one could recognize another, meaning it was still dark time and you couldn't tell who was who. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And the reason he said this was it would ruin her reputation, because you know how people are and how they talk. And if she's there at night and doing what is legal to be there and cover his feet and him cover her as a marriage proposal. But sure as somebody saw them together at night, they gonna make up in their mind what was going on. People are like that. Don't be shocked. I'll tell you why they're like that. Because what they're thinking you did is exactly what they would have done. All they're doing by accusing you is exposing their real self. So he knew this talk would spread, and he said, don't do that. Just get out of here before anybody sees us, and we it won't affect your reputation, and it won't affect mine. Because people knew she was a virtuous woman, it said. So they got a problem here, because morning is going to come, and she's going to find herself all night worried and breaking out in cold sweat. And Naomi's going to say, oh no, I forgot about the other brother. That's right, we have two kinsmen redeemers here, and boy, we hadn't thought about him in years. Oh no, what's going to happen? So all night they're worried about that, and so to help ease her pain, when Ruth leaves the pile of seed, Boaz does a very nice thing. He calls her over, says, take that veil you're wearing and make a holder out of it. And he gave her six big piles of seed to carry home, where Naomi would know the meaning of that. The meaning of that was, don't worry, you're going to have plenty to eat. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you today and tomorrow. And don't worry, because I have seed for this lady, and I will raise up to you a son, and your family name will be preserved forever. It wasn't just a bucket of seed, okay? Then went Boaz to the gate the next morning. I like this one. And the gate was the meeting place for the city. That's where they held court, and that's where all the people going to solve the world's problems gathered, as they do at the Red Barn Biscuit House here, you know. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside, and he sat down. Now, I guess it was another accident that this guy just happened to walk by there that morning. I don't think so. He came by, and Boaz spotted him. And strangely enough, we're not given his name. His name is left out of all this, because he wasn't gracious enough to redeem Ruth and keep the family name going. So when God wrote this book through the people he had it written by, he's left his name out. Nobody knows his name. Just those little things that make you know the Bible's true, doesn't it? He said, hey, you, Bubba, get over here. Sit down a minute. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. And they sat down. What he's doing here, Boaz is getting him some witnesses. He's setting this guy up. And he got 10 witnesses sitting around. And because he's got a plan. And he said to the kinsman, Naomi, who's come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a plot of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to tell thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If you'll redeem it, redeem it. But if you won't redeem it, then tell me and I may know. For there's none to redeem it besides you, and I'm after you. And the man said, well, all right, she's got some property. All I got to do is pay it off. Yeah, I'll redeem it. There goes Ruth's hopes, right? There goes Naomi's hopes. And there goes Boaz's hopes. But you see, Boaz, like a lot of Mideasterners, was a very good salesman. And he didn't lie. He just kind of explained it in a different way. And the Bible doesn't give you that way. It gives you the King James English way, but Boaz didn't speak King James English. I'll read you what it says, and I'll tell you what he said, so we'll understand it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. What he said was, sit down here a minute, Bubba. Naomi's back in town. Yeah, do you remember Naomi? Well, yeah. No, she's back. You seen her? Said, no, man, she looks 100. No offense to you of who are near 100. Said, she ain't been gone but 10 years. Girl needs ironing. She's looking bad. And if you think she's looking bad, you ought to see what she brought with her. What? A Moabitess. And you know the way you can say things, it really makes it ugly, don't it? A Moabite brought a pagan back to this country. Brought an idol worshiper right in here amongst us. I mean, brought her right into the house. Introduced her to me. Some farm girl come at me saying, look, can I go to work for you? I said, what can you do? Well, I can glean in the fields. And I'm thinking, who can't bend over and pick up a little wheat? That all ambition you got, no education. She gonna be a field hand all her life. Naomi bringing her back up in here. You ought to see her. He didn't say she is ugly. He said you ought to see her. Right? And this guy's getting to thinking, man, I don't need none of that. And he said, then said Boaz, you do know the law, don't you, Bubba? Yeah, kind of. Said, kind of nothing. You buy that property, Naomi comes with it. And so does that Moabitess, and you got to marry her. And you not only have to marry her, you got to raise up children by her so her name and family name goes on. You willing to do that? And this guy, that property ain't looking too good now. Said, and the kinsman said, man, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. All of a sudden, he's thinking about his family. See, what he's seeing, if he buys that property, he inherits Naomi. He's got to marry Ruth. She's going to have children. Now he's got to support them all. Then when he leaves his inheritance, his children going to be mad because he brought these strangers in there and they got to split it with them. He said, man, this is more trouble than a swordfish with an ingrown nose. Man, I ain't doing this. Redeem thou my right for myself. He says, Boaz, you buy it. I can't buy this. And Boaz didn't even crack a smile. He said, well, okay, if you make me. Now, this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing to confirm all things. A man took off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony in Israel. What he did, he took off his sandal and gave it to the other man, saying, because when you walked on ground over there, it was yours. That's how you claimed it. You put your footprints. You walked on it. And by giving your sandal, you're saying, I release the property. I'm not walking on it anymore. I'm not allowed to walk on it anymore. So he gave the sandal. Actually, when you refuse somebody like Ruth, who was coming to ask you to be a kinsman redeemer, she would take the sandal and then she would spit in the guy's face. But she wasn't there, and Boaz handled it nicely. So this was a testimony. Therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you're witnesses this day that I've bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. He said, I've bought Ruth. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead, the family, not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. You are witnesses this day. The deal was done. And Naomi was right, And Boaz was happy, and Ruth was delighted. And I don't know how Bubba made out when he finally saw Ruth, but I don't guess he was too happy. But it was too late then. And the kinsman redeemer had bought that. I was studying on the porch last night, my porch and veranda. And I'm out there doing my studying and doing, and I said, wait a minute. She belonged to somebody else when Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, bought her out of the misery. What can this possibly mean? And said, thank you, Lord. There was a day when I belonged to somebody else. There was a day when I was in slavery, up for bids for whoever wanted me. There was a day when I was lost and undone, helpless and hopeless and without hope, blind, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Oh, I had a master just like you if you're lost. I belonged to the devil. Scripture says your father, the devil. And I said, look at this. Even though I had a present owner, and even though I was a slave to someone else, the kinsman redeemer came and paid the price of prices just for me. Poverty stricken, blind and undone, hopeless, helpless, and worthless. And the King of Glory said, I will give all I have for him. Boy, it got quiet on the porch. It wasn't just the evening dew that caused my face to be wet. And I said, how could you do such a thing? For me you came, and for me you died, and for me you suffered. For me you arose, and for me you go to build a place, and for me you're coming again, and for me I can reign with you forever. And you were willing to pay that price for me. He said, yep. And I'm willing to pay it for anybody else who would like a kinsman redeemer and be bought out of darkness. And the people here in verse 11, they got about as happy as I did. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we're witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming down thy house like Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah are considered the mothers of Israel. Two of the most famous women of Israel. May they make your children as famous of them, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem. Isn't that strange that they said, may this bloodline to be, and they didn't know whether she could have children or not. May your bloodline to be famous in Bethlehem, the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord who hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of their life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law who loves thee, who is better than thee than seven sons, has given him birth. And Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became a nurse to him. And the woman, her neighbors, gave him a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed." That means worshipped. "He's the father of Jesse, the father of David, King David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot King David of Israel." The bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing happens to a child of God by accident. And everything he has promised and ordained will come to pass. The truth of his promises and blessings I hold in my hand. All of them have or will come true. And you can depend on the gospel of this book more so than the seat you're sitting in or the car you drive. Blessed is the name of the Lord, who was born in Bethlehem and died at Calvary, arose, and is coming again. What a book. What a God. What a Savior. If you don't know him today, as we sing and pray, you bow your head where you are. Say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm doing well according to the neighbors. But inside I'm lost and undone, and you know it and I know it. I need a redeemer. And there is but one. And today, would you legally wash my sins away and pay for all of them and make them gone and make me yours? May I be the bride of Christ, just as Ruth asked Naomi. And just as they asked Boaz." Isn't that wonderful? If you don't know him, you know him today. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can look in your wonderful word and see the stories of old, and they're beyond literature to us. They're beyond just a cute little love story to those who know you. They're the truth of men needing deliverance from their position, in need of a redeemer, in need of a savior. And you're the God who reveals himself. You've revealed yourself to us in your book, told us how to approach you, told us what to say and do, told us how to be forgiven and how to be cared for forever by the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Thank you. Over and over I thank you. And if there be one here or listening by means of radio or on the web, may today be the day that they find their Boaz. May today be the day that they come from darkness to light and their eyes be opened by the good news that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for the sins of mankind, was buried and arose the third day, and made the announcement that whosoever will may come. And thank you that whosoever included me. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.